So the first injury update is Nekiah Cockatoo, and this is a little bit of a challenging one. As you know, we've been really conservative with his management. He didn't play last week with a bit of a tight hamstring, and he's not a certainty to play this week, although he has trained well. So we are getting to the point where we need to decide whether the risk short-term is too great. So, look, he's going okay. He hasn't had a setback. We just need him to be perfect before he plays every week. He wasn't that last week, and there's a chance he might not be that this week as well. So I'll probably just put on the table that there is a possibility that we might take the longer-term view and take him out of all games this season. But again, you shouldn't read too much into it. It's not a setback. It's just a matter of weighing the risk of playing a couple of games at the end of the year and potentially compromising a really good pre-season and his longer-term future. So I might just pause there if you want to ask any more specific questions around that. It sounds a bit morbid, and that wasn't my intention, but it's just trying to be as transparent as possible because, as you know, we're really careful with him.
Do you factor in risk with this decision that if there's no chance of playing AFL this year, that's not worth it?
That's probably a better way of explaining it than the waffle I just went on with. Yeah. So we're not at that point yet. There's a chance he might play this week. There's a chance he might play next week. But I'd say once we get to that point over the next 10 days or so, there's a strong possibility we might just say that a couple of games at the end of the year with no chance to get back into the AFL team is just not worth it. Let's prioritise a good pre-season.
So when you're weighing up, that's obviously the bad and potential further damage. Is the good that playing a bit of football would be really good for his psyche and a good way to launch into next season?
No, the psyche is less of a priority for us. We're really confident long-term he will get over his issues and be a good player for us for a long time. And so playing a couple of games at the end of the year doesn't really factor into at least my thinking, and there are alternate views around the place, and I think he would like to play. The real priority with him getting back to playing was he may well play well enough and be in good enough shape that he could force his way into our team. Once that becomes very unlikely, then I think we'll change tack.
Did he just pull up with an injury, or did he just feel like he wasn't quite right?
It was strange. He came off the game really well, and then just during the week, he just felt some tightness that that he couldn't get rid of. And then 2 days pre-game, when he was still feeling that way, the decision was made not to play him. And he's actually trained okay, but there's just been a little gap there. So I'd describe it as 95% right, but unless we're convinced he's 100, we're not even going to train him, much less play him. So again, because it could seem a little strange, the sequence of events, I'm giving you a lot more information than I would normally.
He must be increasingly frustrated. How's he doing?
No, he's actually a little bit the opposite. I mean, frustrated at the last 5 or 6 days in particular, but extremely excited that he's got himself to the position where he's got great confidence that he will be okay. He really hasn't looked like playing for 12 months. He got back and not only played a half, but played well, looked like his old self. So I think any frustration he's got over the last week or so is well and truly tempered by the fact that he's got more confidence than he's ever had that he'll get back to high-level AFL footy. You might need to remind me now, Kev.
O'Connor.
So, yeah, we think I'll go Jordan Clark first. So that elbow injury, there's good news and bad news. The good news is that it looks as if he can push to get back into the team by the end of the season. The bad news is it's probably looking like about 4 weeks from the date of the injury before we could consider him. So I guess there's also good news in that it's an elbow and he's already running and he won't lose much condition, maybe a little bit footy touch and that sort of thing, but the injury's not as bad as we first thought. So about that sort of 3 to 4 week mark, we'd think about getting him back into the team. Around about that time, yeah. Yeah. I mean, obviously, we'd like to see him in full training for at least a week or so before we'd consider bringing him straight back into the team. But I guess we're hopeful that we're going to play for, deep into the finals, which gives him an extra couple of weeks. But yeah, it's not ideal timing for Jordan, but it could be worse. And then Mark O'Connor, I think I've said the last few weeks that we expect him to play. I still expect him to play, but can't guarantee it. So he's just got a toe issue that's been a little slower than we thought, but it's not a serious injury. And if he doesn't play this week, I'll stake my reputation on the fact he plays next week. What's left of it anyway? No, that's true. And every week you miss makes it a little bit harder to break into. But I will say that Mark's been a fixture of our team this year and plays a really important role for us. So it might be a slightly harder decision, but I think the odds are with Mark. So that medial ligament injury, his back moving around now, so we're pretty confident that that's more like the 2 week sort of recovery from here than anything more sinister. But
first final,
I'm optimistic it might even be a week earlier than that. Our VFL team plays in the AFL pre-finals bye week, so that's a possibility for him. But again, he's not too similar to Mark O'Connor in that he's been a fixture of our team, and if he's something like full health and moving well, then it would be surprising if he couldn't force his way back into our team straight away.
I guess it's probably beyond your control a little bit, but is it kind of unsettling that so close to the final, I mean, you might go into the first week of finals with potentially four or five different players than the round 23 side? Does that worry you or concern you?
I don't quite come up with four or five players. I think the only two that are that might be in that category are Clark and Rowan. I think O'Connor will come back before that. And then we have a big group of guys that have either been right on the edge of AFL selection or have played in the last 6 weeks who are up and going and in good form in the VFL. So I would argue that we're actually quite stable. But is there someone that I'm missing that you're thinking of?
Just if there were some players in the VFL that might be on the fringe who could also come in as well as the guys who are playing through injury.
Yeah, but we'd balance up all the issues and just if we did that, it would be on the basis that those guys are just playing so well that we need to bring them in. And but the stability of the team is important. I wouldn't imagine we'll play the round 23 and then have five changes into a final. I don't see that scenario playing out. Well, we're still really happy that we've got a big group of players that we think can play for us. But we were happy with the way we played last week with the balance we went with. So Reece Stanley's had two really good weeks in the VFL, and I think he's going to be hard to keep out of the team at some point. We haven't made the decision this week. So, I don't think it's complicated. It's just, it's a difficult decision. It's difficult to work out, but the equation's actually quite simple. Is Blitzarv's better served in the ruck or as a tall back? And once you make that call, then the rest flows pretty simply from there. Did I miss anyone?
No, I think it's better. You can get into the general question.
Thinking with
whether he's a general back or a ruck.
Well, I'd be surprised if he's not the All-Australian key defender, along with Harris Andrews, who we come up against this week. Probably pushes his case a little bit more if he can play in the ruck as well. To have that flexibility within the All-Australian team, but that's as hard as I advocate for anyone. I think his best spot is as a tall defender.
How big a test is the Lions together
right now? Yeah, big test. I mean, they've won, is it eight in a row? Playing a really good offensive brand of football in particular, kicked almost 150 points on the weekend. I think when they get the momentum there, clearly play a style that is hard to stop. I think at our best we've defended pretty well, so I think the game's more complicated than just our defence versus their offence, but it's going to be a central part to it. And they have, over a long period of time, I might add, they haven't played finals for quite a while, but they've built a team that doesn't have too many gaps in it. A lot of talent on every line, no real structural deficiencies with their key position players. If anything, they play a little bit taller than most teams. but complement it quite nicely with some dangerous smalls. So, yeah, it's the game that, in a way, I think teams are looking for going into a final series. You know, playing against a team, when you look at them, you don't see obvious areas of their game or their personnel to exploit, which is what you get in finals as well. Not many teams fluke their way into a final series.
You can almost lock up top spot if you win. Does that matter much to you?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Well, I should say, first or second, I don't think makes much difference in the system we have. So, yeah, there's two really obvious opportunities for us. One is to go some way. I'm not sure it's definite, but it's probably pretty close to, if we win, we can lock up one or two. But then test ourselves against, you know, probably one of the better opposition teams out there at the moment, particularly at home. Although they've shown great capacity to play away from home as well. I'm not saying that they're a significantly better team at home, but I think they'd prefer to be playing there than here.
Are you used to Cameron, Chris?
Probably, but we've got a bit of flexibility there. And so, one, we've got some options. Zach Tui, Tom Stewart, Mark O'Connor, if he plays, Jed Buse. But we'll need them all because it's not just Charlie Cameron, it's Alan Christensen and Dane Zorko and Lincoln McCarthy, who we know a bit about. We rate all those guys. Two of them are extra long boys. Hopefully we didn't help them too much.
What was your reaction to the AFL just coming in and saying no chance of getting the final down here?
Well, I'm not really across the detail. My understanding is that, yes, they were definitive about that, and they're definitive about maximising attendances for finals, which is absolutely their right. I don't think it augurs well for the Gold Coast or GWS or some of the smaller Melbourne clubs into the future, but it's their prerogative to decide what they prioritise. And whether I agree with it or whether, indeed, football people in general agree with it, it's probably beside the point. If they've made their call, then we've got no choice but to acquiesce.
You might have just touched on it, but Lincoln McCarthy, 29 games here in 7 years. He's played 20 this year. You were with him through all, I guess, the bad times and injuries and that sort of stuff. Is that, even though he is playing for, you know, a rival he's going to come up against, is that, I guess, a good thing for you to see him finally get some continuity?
It's not a great thing for Geelong this week, but there's not a person at this footy club that doesn't love Link. And that hasn't supported him through some of those more difficult times. And it was hard to see him leave. We didn't want to see him go. But I think the proof is in the pudding. It's been a good result for him as an individual. And for the 2 hours of the game, it'll be hard to see him play well. But once that's done and dusted, then I think, at least on a personal level, I'll just speak for myself, you know, I feel really happy for him. He's a fantastic person and a brilliant little player. So like all the players that move on from Geelong, whether they're in really positive circumstances or not, they'll always be Geelong players and Geelong people. The fact with Link is he's just also a Brisbane person as well now. But yeah, I'm happy for him.
Chris, what do you make of the AFL CEO giving his views on that players should continue their career? And I spoke with Stephen Cornelio and Gil coming out and saying he'd like to see him stay with the Giants.
Well, it's probably about as appropriate as the head coach at Geelong commenting on what the CEO of the AFL should and shouldn't say.
What about pressing the trade and more on general issues?
I like the discussion around all this stuff. I think we're all mature enough to, even publicly, to sort of throw up the pros and cons of that sort of stuff. I think the key part from our perspective is that we keep an open mind to it, and the priority for us is not so much to campaign as to what the rules and regulations should be, but to be across them well enough so that we can make the most of them. I think, in general, I'm actually less supportive of more player movement, but that's why it's strange when you hear some people say, "I hope a player stays at his club," when everything seems to point towards opening up the rules to make it easier for those guys to leave. I'm not sure exactly where we are in terms of what certain people want. Because if you want players to stay, don't open up the opportunity to move as readily as we have.
Just on that, excuse me, the match do you expect with the quality of the two midfields that both coaching rooms are just going to let them sort of go head to head in that sense, or is there going to be perhaps the potential for one or two lockdown roles to be implemented on Saturday? Or?
I think all the good players in both teams will have matchups. I'd be surprised if it's 2006 style tagging, but neither teams play that way, and not many of the good teams, at the moment at least, do play that way. But we certainly won't be saying let's just run one way and let them run the other and see who prevails. We just have too much respect for. I'm not even going to name them because it's all of them. You know, they've got a lot of Neil's the obvious one that's getting some credit. But if Neil's a better player than Zorko, it's tight. They've scored really heavily, and I would expect them to still push on with that style of game. And at the same time, we've been pretty good defensively, but that doesn't mean that we'll just try to lock down on them and keep them to a really low score at the expense of trying to score ourselves.
It's an interesting weekend with the top four all playing each other. You obviously can't speak for the other coaches, but do you think about keeping something up your sleeve just in case you play Brisbane in a more important game?
Yeah, we think about it, but we don't prioritise it in front of trying to finish as high up the ladder as we can. Or not as high up the ladder. First or second probably doesn't make too much difference to both teams, but there's just not enough room to move there. You've just got to try to win the games that are available. I would suspect the other teams are a little bit the same. If you start getting a bit too tricky and forecasting what might happen into the future and then holding something up your sleeve in the short term, that can really backfire. We'd hate to lose the game by a small margin because we held something back that we thought would work. And chances are, anyway, if we played them in 4 or 5 weeks' time, things will have changed to the point where whatever you thought you were going to do is no longer relevant.
If you take off your Geelong coaching hat and just your association with the Lions, how happy have you been to see them ride up the ladder and see some success?
I think it's really good for the game. But I don't really separate the Lions from the Gold Coast and GWS and the Swans, for that matter. I think it's important for the game in general, for AFL footy to thrive in the northern states. I think it's also a little bit of a lesson that as bad as things can seem, sometimes the darkest hour is near the dawn. And they looked like they were a long, long way back, maybe even, 18 months ago. And now clearly they're not. You know, there's every chance they could finish on top of the ladder. So I think it's a bit of a lesson for the industry. Let's be careful when we think about how dire some situations are and focus more on the possibilities that things can be turned around without exceptional external interference.